What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
The Reformation said, you are responsible for yourself. Everybody is responsible for his faith. It's a step of democracy. Everybody is equal in the church.
That's Johannes Block. He is pastor of Evangelical City and Parish Church of St. Mary's in Wittenberg, Germany. He occupies the pulpit where Luther preached more than 2,000 sermons. His reflection on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is that what the Reformation was about individualism? That's from PBS Religion Ethics News Weekly, a story that we're going to be responding to here in the first few minutes of the program with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison about that story on the Reformation. Dr. Hunter Bakel will join us to talk about the freedom to protest well. Michael New joins us to talk about the historic low abortion rates in the U.S. They really have gone down and continue to go down. And Holly Shear of The Federalist will join us to talk about a new report on cohabitation and what it does to children. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher, according to the 3-year lectionary, looking at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' warning against anger, lust, divorce, and oaths. Joining us to respond to a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author and editor and translator of numerous books, including his latest, Letters from a Pastor's Heart. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good.
During this year of 2017, remembering 1517, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when we remember the Reformation, are we remembering more than Martin Luther?
My, yes. I mean, the Reformation, which was really brought about by God working through Martin Luther, unleashed a huge shift religiously, socially, ethically, in the area of art, music, and virtually all aspects of university life, renovation, and kind of a total look at public education. So, and it also ended up being really a turning point in understanding human rights, the rights of the individual over against the state with respect to religion. So it's Luther, and it's much, much bigger. And yet at the same time, while all of that is the case, the heart of the Reformation, the heart of everything for Luther was this, that one finds a gracious God by God's own action and grace. Eternal life is a gift. It is not something one earns or achieves. It's God's gift through Christ Jesus, received by faith. That's the heart and soul of everything that caused the revolution.
PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly recently did a story about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. They interviewed several religious scholars, including Professor Michael Root of Catholic University of America and Reverend Amy Butler of Riverside Church in New York City. Here's how they evaluate in a general sense the significance of the Reformation.
The Protestant Reformation is in many ways the most significant event in Western Christian history.
It was like a point where the church's story took a radical turn, and everything we are now is sort of the product of that moment in history, and it's also a mirror by which we sort of reflect where we are now.
I wanted your reaction on two points there, Matt. First of all, it's commonly referred to as the Protestant Reformation. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. Certainly, well until, probably the split with the Zwinglians and the developing Calvinists, especially the Zwinglians in 1525 or so on the issue of the sacrament. But even well into the late Reformation period, it was basically understood as a Lutheran Reformation, and Rome's animus was toward the Lutherans, primarily in Germany, but also their allies in other places. So it developed into a broader so-called Protestant Reformation, and it took on different kind of textures and theology and field depending on the region. Certainly in England, because of Henry VIII's unique circumstances, the Church of England becomes a Protestant in a unique way, and also the other Calvinists, mainly over against Lutherans. So it was a Protestant Reformation. They were first called Protestants because they were protesting, and they were protestes. They were those who had something to say against the authorities, and that name was most markedly used in 1530 at the Augsburg Reichstag, where the Lutherans presented their Augsburg Confession.
Here again is the Reverend Amy Butler of Riverside Church in New York City, talking about the question of the Reformation.
He was grappling with these essential human questions that all of us ask. Why do I feel guilty? Is God about rules, or is God about love? What is grace? How does it manifest itself in my life?
Is that a good evaluation of Luther's central question?
Well, yes and no. It really is true that the Christian life is not about rules. But what has happened, and I don't know where the woman stands on any of these issues, but what has happened is, in our time, when people talk about grace, it just becomes tolerance. And so it's awful easy to move very very quickly from what sounds like a reformational kind of Lutheran issue right into a antinomian viewpoint that sees no need for any law and particularly eliminates created orders. So there's no marriage necessary between man and woman, no gender that holds one back from being what one thinks one is, those kind of things. So yes and no.
Here again is Michael Rood of Catholic University of America talking about how Luther was kind of one in a long line of reformers.
There had been complaints about abuses for hundreds of years, and probably always will be to some degree. But the theological debates about the nature of salvation, the nature of faith and the Christian life, those proved to be much harder to resolve.
Is it correct that the central question of salvation occupied Luther's mind and not so much individual abuses that the church had been long criticized for?
That is true. And other reformers had come along, like Wycliffe and largely Hus too. They complained about the ethics of Rome or the ethics of the Pope or the lack thereof. And mind you, there were some just real beasts. Even Hubert Yadin, the great historian of the Council of Trent, said that there wasn't a shred of pastoral concern in the entire being of Pope Leo X, the Pope at the time when Luther made his reformational discoveries. But the heart of everything was Luther's understanding that salvation is a gift. It's all achieved by Christ. It's achieved 8,000 miles away, 2,000 years ago on a cross. For Luther, it was 1,500 years previously on a cross. And it's doled out by preachers preaching the gospel, by the Bible being read, by the Bible being shared and the gospel being shared on the lips of lay people and others, and by baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's what Luther was on about, and it was all gift. It changed the trajectory 180 degrees. Church, for Luther, is not you going to make a sacrifice. It's not your giving. It's not the sacrifice of the Mass. It's not the earning of merit. It's entirely the opposite. It is God giving forgiveness to you in very concrete ways.
Here is the Reverend Johannes Block of the Evangelical City and Parish Church in St. Mary's, Wittenberg, Germany, and again, the Reverend Amy Butler.
The Reformation said, you are responsible for yourself. Everybody is responsible for his faith. It's a step of democracy. Everybody is equal in the church.
I, for example, could not lead a church before the Reformation, and it took a long time to get here. But it was a shift like that that opened the church to different ways of understanding the expression of our faith. And that's very valuable for us as Christians.
What do you make of that, Matt, the kind of individualism that people see in the Reformation, along with what you said, kind of that antinomian streak?
Yeah, well, there are all kinds of movements that had their impetus in the Reformation, and the Reformation was, to a large extent, throwing off authority. However, Luther would quickly say that the authority that was thrown off was illegitimate authority, that is, man-made, papal authority, and the authorities of reason and those kind of things were thrown off. It's true, the Reformation was a step in the line toward democracies. That is absolutely true. However, Luther recognized the absolute authority of Holy Scripture, which he regarded as inerrant. And so to, you know, use Luther to support women's ordination, et cetera, is just a non sequitur. It's foolish.
Finally, here is Professor Michael Root of Catholic University of America talking a bit about what Luther would care about today.
In the best of all possible worlds, and what I think Luther would want, would be talking about what is the Christian good news, what's the gospel. That's what Luther cared about. Push came to shove, Luther didn't care very much about reforming structures. What he cared about, he was a professor, he cared about getting the Christian message straight.
What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, I think, in essence, he is correct, and Luther cared about the message of the gospel. And if something was in the way of that, it had to be reformed or changed. Luther, early on, speaks in very free and flowing ways about doing away with all kinds of institutions and, you know, even, I mean, in some radical ways, even, you know, meeting on Sundays and just having church in homes. Those early views were very much tempered, and Luther was involved very much in reforming institutions and reforming the church itself, reforming the episcopacy of the church, forming consistories, reforming the way the church dealt with marriage. So he was involved in all those kind of things, reforming the university as an institution. He was rector at Wittenberg University. So you can say Luther is, in fact, on the one hand, a detriment to what was the Catholic, the Roman Catholic institutional church at the time. On the other hand, he's hardly anti-institutional.
Finally for you, Matt, is the theology of the Reformation relevant today?
It is as relevant as the struggle, the eternal struggle of mankind to deal with sin and guilt and reconciliation. It's as relevant as man's innate need to know he has a God who loves him and to know the name of that God. It's as relevant as Jesus coming to a cross once for all and for all time, taking on the sins of the world and setting up his means to deliver forgiveness. That is, by the power of the gospel, preaching the word, and by baptism and by the Lord's Supper. So it's the most relevant thing in all of history, and it will continue to be until the last day. It's why history exists.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Todd. God bless you and all your wonderful listeners.
President Harrison will be one of the speakers at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. It's been sold out for the past 2 years, so you need to register now at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. On the other side of the break, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Hunter Baker. He has written recently for The Federalist about college protests and the freedom to protest, well, wisely. We'll talk about that after this. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.